We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to Talk Buffalo Podcast, where we often highlight, but I'm not limited to Buffalo sports, news, media, and entertainment. I am your host, Patrick Moran. You can find me on Twitter at PatMoranTweets. Thanks for locking in today. Casual Friday. That means my buddy Joe Yurden, at Joe Yurden, of course, on Twitter is joining me. We're going to talk some Sabres. Got our starting five this week. We're going to do sports movies. Talk a little bit of Buffalo. What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's nice to settle back in. Settle back into the seat here, if you may. It's good. It's good.
I'm glad you're happy because this sucks for me. Not because I have you on the show. You know I love having you on the show.
Well, I'll just leave then. Nice talking to you. We'll see you next week.
You know I didn't mean it like that. Having you on the show is always a good thing. This sucks for me because this whole week sucks, man. This is all right. So for everyone listening, I want to throw this out there right now. You're hearing this. Hopefully you're hearing this Friday morning, Friday afternoon sometime. We're taping this a couple days earlier than normal. We're taping this Tuesday early evening. And so if anything significant happens with the Sabres or the Bills or Buffalo or whatever, and Joe and I are not talking about it today, it's because we didn't know it happened after. So I wanted to put that little disclaimer out there. And there's a reason for it, of course. And that is, as you're hearing this today, I am moving from this apartment of mine into a hotel for at least the next couple weeks, man. I've been here for a couple years and, I don't know, Joe, you know, I have, even if it's for dumbass reasons, I get sentimental about things. And I mean, fuck this apartment. Let me put that out there. I don't care about the apartment, but I'm sitting here in the corner of my bedroom. I got like this home office set up, which is pretty cool, man. And I just, again, it's not the apartment itself that I'm missing. I got a lot of memories of doing podcasts here. You know, I've talked to a lot of people over the last couple of years. I've really kind of grown this show and I've done it sitting right here, 1,300 miles away in Florida, talking to a lot of people, mainly in Buffalo, like yourself. So it's just, it's a crazy week. I get those kind of sentiments and, you know, emotional, whatever, but more than that, the physical aspect of moving. I hate it with the deepest of passions. I hate the process of moving anywhere. I could be moving from a old rundown 600 square feet shack into a mansion, and I still would despise and loathe and hate the packing and the cleaning the house process. You know what I mean? It's just, it's physically and emotionally, but mainly physically draining. Sucks. I hate it.
Yeah. It's been a few years for me since I chose to move apartments, but that whole process, you know, the packing, the unpacking, like when you move into a place, you unpack, then you got to pack it up again. Then you move, you do it, like you're doing the whole process, and all of it is such a burden. And it's just, I think about it, I'm just like, ugh, please. No, I just, like whenever it is in the future that I'll have to move again, I'm just like, oh, please, no, I don't want to do it. Like I get tired immediately thinking about it. I'm just like, no, I know I don't want to do it. So I have full sympathy for you because you're moving from Florida back up here. And The thought of that kind of a road trip to move is just unbearable. It's horrible.
I'll tell you this. I don't mind the unpacking part as much because it's kind of like you move into a new place, wherever it may be, big, small, whatever it may be. And it's kind of like an empty canvas, and you take your stuff and you kind of paint that canvas a little bit, you know, decorate the way mm-hmm. you want. That part to me is the cool part. It's the, when you leave and having to pack everything up. And then in some cases, like I'm doing this week right now, I'm going to tell you right now, when they come and inspect this apartment, it's going to cost me some money because I got some, I got some acoustic panels that are up around these walls, and I took mm-hmm. just one or two of them down, and it's supposed to be like that tape that doesn't stick to the wall. Well, guess what?
Yeah,
it does. It does. So
peel the walls, paint right off.
Right. It peels some of the paint right off. So they're going to get me for that. And then when you're in an apartment for over 2 years, 2.5 years, like we've been, you know, they're going to throw new rugs in and then they ring you up for that. So they're, mm-hmm. they're going to put the screws to us before we get out. So yeah, I'm going from here to a hotel down here for a couple weeks. And then I'm coming back up to Buffalo in early July, which I mean, I do that every year. I was always going to come up for the summer. It may be permanent. That's not official yet. Well, if it is, I'm not mm-hmm. saying so. but anyway, you know.
Thanks for leaving us in the lurch, Pat. That's great.
Yeah, man. There's some, what's the saying? There's some I's to, what is it? T's to cross, I's to dot. I don't know. Whatever sure. the hell. Whatever yeah. hell that stupid statement is. So not official yet. Definitely going to be in Buffalo all summer. And I'm really looking forward to, hanging out with guys like you. You know what I mean? It's fun to do this show. Even the way we have to do it with the Zencaster stuff, but it'll be a lot more fun when we get opportunities, not every week, but at least sometimes to sit down, mm-hmm. you know, face to face and hit up a bar. Now that some things are opening more and more and get some wings and do stuff like that, which by the way, you know what, let me ask you this, Joe, kind of a segue, you know, what I wanted to talk about. Now I still don't know what's happening and what's mm-hmm. like going on and what's canceled in Western New York this summer, you know, with COVID and protocols for the most part. Like I know the Erie County Fair is open and I'll be there for that, but like, what are a few things typically in a normal year that, like, if anything, that, like, you look forward to every summer? Like, events that go on in Buffalo, whether they're fates or festivals, whatever they may be, bear tents, whatever it is. Like, what are a couple things that, like, you really like to sink your teeth into in the summer months in Buffalo?
Well, before that, I'll tell you, we got over the 70% vaccinated mark in New York.
Yeah.
So they've decided we've won. Pandemic's over.
War's
everything
over.
Back to normal. Like, you know, I was like, well, if I got a 70 in school, man, I wasn't throwing a party for anything. My parents certainly weren't having a party for me at 70%.
Don't anyways. Tell my son that. Yeah.
but it's like things I look forward to, like my most favorite thing is Taste of Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's like my absolute number one favorite thing to hit up because it's every, you get basically every kind of cool place in the city shows up to with samples to eat, and you know you get such awesome selections of everything, and it's just there's always different place. There's like it's gotten to the point with me where there's like my favorites where like I know I got to hit this and this. I'm gonna look around at everything, but there's these three that I know are gonna like if I get stuff that I don't like or that I end up not liking. At least these things are going to save me. These things will make me feel better about everything that I did today. And I think the only downside with it is that you just roast outside because you know, it's in July, I think usually. And you're just roasting outside, walking up and down Delaware Avenue and sampling all the good food. And, you know, the people bringing in wine slushies now. So you get boozed up as you're walking around, like all these different things where, it's just great. And like, that's my most favorite thing I would say. Like I'm kind of down on the Wing Festival. Like, you know, they do that every fall. I'm just not into that, man. Like
it's overrated.
I
mean,
you show up to it and I think it's more hype than it is substance. And I mean, you usually get some places from around the state that show up. Cause one of my favorite places from Oswego came 1 year. And they were like, we're in the competition. We're going for it. And I was like, okay, like maybe I do want to go this year, get some wings that I remember having back in the day. But for the most part, I'm just kind of like, yeah, just get over it. Like, yeah, I, the 1 year 716 won best wings there. And I was just like, come on. What it, like before the place was even open, they were just like, oh yeah, 716 has the best wings. I was like, how much did they pay to make sure they got the best? Like,
yeah, they never had the best wing. They had the best nothing. No. Certainly not best wings. I've had those. No way.
But like, you know, but it's goofy, but like people get way too tanked for it. And like the last thing you want to do is like be out in the sunshine, ripped out of your mind, and then eating wings on top of it. Like, get lost.
Sounds like my life though, Joe.
The vomit party, man. Like
that's that's my life, man. No, you're right though, 100%. I tell you, man, I think one of the things being 5 years away is I realized, because I hear you talking about Taste of Buffalo, and obviously I haven't been there in 5 years. Well, nobody's been there in two now, but I really didn't do that often when I lived there. And it kind of goes back to having 5 years down there to really examine how I was in Buffalo and how I just took so many things for granted and just always did the same couple things. I didn't do stuff like that. I didn't go to the Allentown Art Fest. I mean, I'm not really an artsy guy anyway, but it's still pretty cool. You know, it's a nice vibe. I used to love the Italian, I don't love the Italian Fest now that it was like downtown on the harbor, but I used to love it. I grew up on the west side and used to be on the west side. And then for many, many years, it was on Hurdle Avenue in North Buffalo. That's what I remember. I don't remember the harbor. But anyway, yeah, stuff like that. I agree with you about Wing Fest, by the way, 100%. And I think it's overrated. It's not so much that it's overpriced. I don't know, man. I would like all the area places. I wish more area places were there so you get a sample, because yeah, I might get something from out of state or downstate or something. I'm probably not going to go there and eat them whether I like them or not.
Yeah. But
you know, having more choices around here might influence me to start going to those places. But yeah, man, Queen of Heaven Beer Tent in West Seneca, which I know that's coming this year. In fact, I just seen that I'm excited about that. Time and Beer, pretty much any beer tent. Those are the things that I really, you know what, dude, we're naming off all these places. I'll tell you, maybe next week we'll do a starting five of like Buffalo summer events or something.
Oh,
we could probably fit one in like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it will officially be summer next week when we get doing this. So, I mean, that'd be on the nose.
One other thing too, I wanted to hit on before we get into any hockey talk here. I saw, and again, we're taping this on Tuesday. I don't know if you even saw this yet. I think it was a TV news site, but I didn't see it on TV. I read it on the internet. Bob Marley's son, I don't know if you read this.
I did see this.
He's part of a startup cannabis group that might bring marijuana production plant to Buffalo. And I tweeted this out. I said, you know, don't ever let someone tell you Buffalo ain't growing, like both literally and figuratively, if that happens. Because I laughed at first, and it is, you know, it is still kind of funny to me. But as I was reading the article, man, this place would be like 100,000 square feet and $25 million cannabis center that can employ more than 50 people. I'm like, I'll take that job. I'm going to come up there and take that job.
Quality control.
Absolutely, man. That's pretty cool though, ain't it? I think it is. It's just different because I'm not used to things being like that legal, but that's pretty interesting. That's potentially some big Buffalo news there.
My one wonder with that is, you know, Buffalo is always just like, oh, my city smells like Cheerios. I'm like, well, is it going to be Cheerios and weed?
Because
like, if you're waking up in the morning and you're smelling that, like coming from wherever they build the place, you're just kind of like, oh, it's all right. Like, just mellow out the entire city. Just everybody relax, take it down a notch. Just be happy. But like, I do wonder if it's Bob Marley's kid, Buffalo Soldier. I mean, I don't know. Do you have to call the business Buffalo Soldier, is like some kind of pun off of that? Like, because I think of like these, you know, the weed shops and stuff, and I've seen them in like Colorado and whatever, and they tend to stay away from punny names, which I think is good, because leave that to the vape shops,
right?
Those guys have that on lockdown. But I wonder if like you just have to kind of go corny with it, or do you have to be put on your really serious hat and be like, no, we're very serious about selling our weed and we're going to be very professional with our weeds. Like, come on, guys, please.
Well, it's not. Maybe they could get everybody high and then everybody could be in a chill mood, because then when it comes to Sabres and having to talk about the Sabres, everybody would be cool about it and nobody would care. Unfortunately, you know, that's not the case. What a perfect segue that is. So on Tuesday, Elliot Friedman on his podcast, and I didn't listen to the whole thing, but I did listen to a section. He was talking about NHL teams that are keeping their eyes right now on Jack Eichel. And he said, don't be surprised if the Sabres end up with two picks in the top 10 of the draft. Now, he didn't specifically say it was for Jack or for Sam Reinhart. They specifically discussed Anaheim, who picks at 3, Columbus, who picks at 5, and L.A., who picks at 8. Although, when it came to L.A., Elliot Friedman said that, as of right now, at least from what he hears, they're not really in on Jack Eichel. So, if they were interested, it would be more for Sam. But, I mean, this is not like breaking. It's not like Elliot's breaking any, you know, major significant news here, because we know both those guys. There's like, we've talked about this on the show many times over the last few weeks. They very well both could be traded. And we know that at least some draft compensation is going to be part of a package. It's not like they're going to trade Jack Eichel straight up for the fifth pick in the draft. That's not going to happen. But we knew that draft compensation would be at least part of any package. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Potentially getting two picks in the top 10 in a year where there's no one big name, so to speak. There's no one complete consensus. Although Owen Power is kind of becoming that, at least in the eyes of a lot of media folk out there right now. But I don't know. How do you feel about that? Because I got it. Hockey draft picks just don't do it for me, because I think of like Grigorenko with a top 10 pick or something like that. I'm not saying that that's who it'll turn out to be. I don't know, man. It just doesn't excite me. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I totally understand you not being excited by the draft when it comes to Buffalo, because it's been mostly ugly, and even the nice parts have turned into ugly parts too. So I get it. As far as what Elliot's talking about, though, I've talked about it here. I've talked about it on other podcasts, but Anaheim seems like way too natural of a fit for a Jack trade for me. Because
why?
Well, I think it gives you a natural starting point, because you ask Anaheim, okay, it starts with pick number 3 this year. And you're like, if pick number 3 is not included, we'll just stop talking now. But when you're talking about a superstar like Jack Eichel, who is, you know, a top 10 talent, you know, and Anaheim, you know, from what Elliot says, really wants to make a splash for a superstar. Because let's face it, you know, L.A. and Anaheim being the same market, you know, and Orange County people, just be like, it's not the same market. Blah, 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 blah. Just, listen, shut up. Like, you're 20 minutes apart, please. Like 20 minutes without traffic apart, I should say. It's probably 2 hours otherwise. But they have that pick, which, I mean, hey, if you're trading Jack Eichel, you're basically saying we're rebuilding in full. So that's, you know, so right away you're going to have two picks in the top 5, which is perfect. Like that's the ultimate scenario. But you can also, like, they've got a money guy. They've got a big contract that they can offload to make the money balance out for Jack. Like, they could take Adam Henrique from the Ducks, bring him on. He can be the center, and he can be a leader right away with your rebuilding team in Buffalo. He's also from near Toronto. He's close to family. Like, you know, it's the that old Tim Murray marketing line of like, we can get guys here because they're from, you know, Southern Ontario, and they'll like be in, you know, near home. So that they got that working for them, and they've got prospects, and they've got other like NHL ready type talent. Granted, they don't have a ton of it, but they're that's not to say that they're very close when it comes to that, it comes down to it, but they've got guys that are young who may not have made that jump just yet, and who might be on the precipice of doing that. Like a guy like Max Comtois, big forward. He's a guy that I'm really impressed with. But you know, Anaheim's been waiting a couple years for him to like get comfortable in that role to take over. So he's a guy. He's certainly a guy that I would say, like, if I'm Buffalo, give me number 3. We'll take Henrique. Give us Comtois. Give us one other thing, and you got Jack. And like that to me makes it easy. And I know the Kings thing is a bit messed up, because my pal John Hovind said that they're not really feeling Eichel right now, and I have a feeling it has to do with the neck, or maybe they're playing hard to get because, you know, you don't want to lay all your cards out on the table in public, because, you know, you don't want Kevin Adams calling him up going like, listen, pal, we know you want them. So, like, let's, you know, I got your back against the wall. So give me everything that I want. Like, Kings don't have to make that deal. They have all the parts to do it, but they don't have to. because they can just wait for Quentin Byfield to become, you know, the man. They can wait, you know, they can bring in Alex Turcotte to be their, you know, their eventual number two. You know, they still have Kopitar, who's amazing. You know, so they don't have to do anything. Anaheim kind of has to do something. Like, they've got to make a play. So that those, like, when it comes down to those teams, I totally get it. Columbus would, like, I could see them. That I think that's been talked about before when it, in regards to Seth Jones and one of their goaltenders, possibly in a deal for Reinhardt and stuff. But I mean, if you're going to get their number five pick, it's got to be Jack involved too. But I think if you're taking on Seth Jones, who's, you know, can be a free agent next year. If you're getting one of their goalies, then okay. But like, you got to make it. Buffalo's got to get their pick of which one they want. It can't just be like, no, you can only have this guy. Like, no, no, you're getting Jack. You're going to give us the guy that we want. So, so when it comes down to those three teams, like, yeah, I'm convinced they're going to have another top 10 pick. And if I had to pick one, I'd say they'll have two top five picks, because I think, because Anaheim just makes way too much sense to me.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let me spitball a scenario for you, and just something in my head, and I could be completely off base. Very well, maybe. I think we both agree, and I think everyone would agree, Sam Reinhart's never going to have more trade value for Buffalo than he does right now. So if they're going to trade him right now, is definitely the time to do that. When it comes to Jack Eichel, because of the neck, I think it's obvious that this is not a marriage that's going to last much longer. I'm pretty sure that's obvious. But there's a school of thought, at least there's a school of thought to me, that maybe if they bring back, if Eichel does not get traded this summer, okay, and I don't know what's going on with his neck, I don't think anybody truly knows exactly, but let's say he gets healthy enough to play again, could you see a scenario where maybe the Sabres bring him back, he plays this year, demonstrates that he's healthy, maybe shows some more trade value, and then potentially... because they would have to do it before a certain time next year, because then the no trade would kick in. But do you think maybe, and again, I could be completely off base here, but maybe they have Jack play up until like around the deadline this coming season, and then they try to move him at that point. Do you see that as a scenario, or do you say we need to wash our hands with this guy for once for all right now? He doesn't want to be here. We're ready to move on for him. We might only get 80 cents on a dollar instead of, you know, a dollar for a dollar or whatever. But the time's out. Like, what do you think that's a possibility realistically? Or do you say, nah, man, let's just do this now?
If that actually happened, I would be shocked. I would be shocked beyond shocked if he ever plays another game or practices again with the Sabres. I think this is so far gone, and this is so far, I think everybody's ready to just wash their hands of it and just be done with each other right now. Cause, and honestly, I get the idea of needing Jack to prove that he can still do it out, you know, once the neck thing is figured out. But if you need that to be like, well, you know, he's still a really great player. I don't know, man. Like, I mean, his whole resume is out there on tape every game. Like, you know what he can do. I get, like, the neck thing's an issue. But I think if you're trading him to another team, like, the other team's got to give him a physical and figure out what's going on.
Sure.
So, yeah. You know, I think when it, you know, because it's basically getting, like, a third or fourth opinion at this point when it comes down to it. So, you know, the other team will determine that, and they'll discuss it with Jack, what they think. You know, their doctor will say, like, hey, listen, here's what I think about it. Can we, you know, are you okay with doing it this way here? And he might say, yeah, you know what? Okay, we'll do it that way here. Or their doctor's going to be like, yeah, you know, hey, listen, if you want to get that surgery, we got you 100%. Yeah, you can do it if you want to. And if he just goes, okay, cool. Like, we'll get it done. I'll see you, you know, whenever, you know, however long it takes to recover from that. Or maybe he just says, you know what? No, I'll tough it out for you guys. I'll do it, you know, I'll do it the best way, or do it this way. I'll do it that, you know, whatever you want. At least I'm out of there. Like, whatever you guys say to do, I'm happy. I'm out of there now and I can go on living. So, but yeah, I find it impossible at this point to think that he's ever going to see any time in blue and gold, Sabres blue and gold again. I don't want, there's other teams with blue and gold out there. I don't want to be like, he gets traded to Nashville and somebody's like, oh, he's blue and gold again.
I think right now we feel like it can't really get much worse, the relationship between organization and fans. But mm-hmm. I shudder to think of, all right, let's just say they do trade Jack and they trade him to Anaheim, and you just laid out this really good, sensible scenario. But let's just say they don't get that third pick, or they get that third pick, but they don't get the player, or they don't get that prospect to go with it. Like, it feels, I just said 80 cents on a dollar. Say they get 70 cents on a dollar. If it's a trade that doesn't look good on paper, I think these fans, I didn't think it could get any worse, but I actually do think it can get worse if that happens. You agree with that?
Yeah. I've always cautioned, for the last few years, I've always cautioned people who say, well, it can't get any worse than this. I was like, can it?
Yeah.
Can it get worse? You know, like, that was something that I said at the end of my column, and people are just like, well, it can't get worse than this. I said, well, they can finish 32nd next year.
Right.
That's a little worse. You know, they were the first team to finish 31st. Why not be the first team to finish 32nd? You know, but it's, it can absolutely get worse. I mean, it's like I said, Adams is going to get judged completely based on what happens with this trade. You know what? I've been very sympathetic to Kevin Adams since the get-go, because he was charged with fixing up whatever the mess was last year. And like, he had to, you know, had to get all these free agents, had to do all this stuff. He had to take care of the roster, all these things. Like, he had to fire a bunch of people his first day on the job. Like, just the worst of all miserable experiences of becoming an executive. Like, and now it's his second year. Now it's like, hey, you now have to trade our best player and make sure you don't get the wool pulled over your eyes to do it either.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, that it's extremely challenging. This would be challenging for anybody who's even been in the league for 20 years, because you don't just trade guys like Jack Eichel and expect to get a fair return. You know, I think about what happened with the Gretzky trade in 89. And, you know, I was 10 years old. And I remember that day as clear as anything, because Gretzky was like my favorite guy growing up. And I remember reading all these guys that they traded to get him. I was like, holy cow, that's a lot of guys. Like, that's an insane trade. It's the same thing with with Lindros, that trade with Quebec, because Quebec still drafted him, even though Lindros told him, I'm never playing for you ever. And, you know, Eric's parents were just like, he's not playing in Quebec City. Sorry. That's not how it's working. Even that trade was bonkers. And he hadn't even played an NHL game. It was completely worth the hype. Lindros was incredible, but like, one of those guys that went the other way ended up being Peter Forsberg, you know, like, right. Like, one of those draft picks was ended up being Peter Forsberg. So it's just like, whoops. Okay. So, you know, you look at like how that trade breaks down now, you're just like, oh my God, what a mammoth deal that was. So like now, but like, you have a known quantity in what Jack is. You can't screw it up. Like, the Bruins screwed it up with Joe Thornton. You know, they got a handful of dudes, for a guy who won MVP that season. You know, like, Thornton had what, 94, 95 assists that year for San Jose. Like, come on.
Right.
You know, Thornton's going to the Hall of Fame, you know, 5 years after he retires. It's a no brainer. And the Bruins got what, Marco Sturm, Wayne Primo, and Brad Stewart, and like some crappy draft pick. Brad Stewart won a Stanley Cup, but he did it with Detroit. Like, you know, Wayne Primo was, you know, he was a Sabres guy forever. And Marco Sturm, like, you know, he scored some nice goals for him in the playoffs, but was he a superstar? No, hell no. Like, that's what happened. You know, like, that's the kind of deal you can't have. It's, you know, it's like the O'Reilly deal. You can't have a redux of that deal. Because you do that, like, everybody who said, like, you know what, I'm done with this team, they're going to be done. Like, they're just going to be like, forget it.
Yeah.
I'm tuning out. Where, you know, what time's the Kraken game get on? Because I want a fresh start. Give me a new team. At least I don't have any expectations with them.
I legitimately and very realistically, and this isn't me, this is not me being angry and yelling and swearing like I tend to do. I am very subjectively and calmly saying this. If the Sabres screw up this trade, and if things get even worse, I think you're going to lose a lot of fans legitimately for good. I think they're going to go. They'll either follow another hockey team or they'll stop watching hockey altogether, or at least, you know, won't care about Buffalo, and they'll be gone for good. I really think that there is a portion of this fan base that legitimately, this organization, they're on very thin ice. So they need to be careful. Now, I don't expect them to, they're not making the playoffs next year. I'd be stunned. You're talking about you'd be stunned if Eichel ever suits up for Buffalo again. I'd be equally as stunned if we were talking about Sabres postseason hockey next year. So you're looking at 11 years, which will set the all-time record for futility and not making the playoffs. I'm prepared. I'm resigned to that. But if this team takes even more setbacks, or if they get whatever they get in return for Eichel and it's just not looking good after one or two years, man, they're going to lose a lot of players, or a lot of fans, I should say, for eternity, man. I truly, honestly believe that. I really do.
You know what happens in that case? And I say this very smirkingly and kind of trollingly. That's when they trade for Patrick Kane. Like, if they want to save face, they'll be like, hey, at least we're going to get South Buffalo back on our side. Right. We're bringing Patty back home. Kane will just be like, listen, I've already won all my cups. You know, Chicago's trying to get back under the cap. He's worth like, 10, 11 million against the cap. And they'll just be like, Sabres will be like, listen, we got nothing. We're way under the cap now because we've cheaped out completely. All right, Patty, come on home. You're going to be a Hall of Famer, finish up your career here, play in front of your family all season and, live the life that you've always wanted to live, being a hockey superstar in your hometown. Like, just come and do it like that. That's what I could see happening just from a PR saving face kind of thing, because all those fans that you're talking about, a lot of them, like, their second team was always Chicago because of Kane. And, they're all, Sabres missed the playoffs. Like, at least we could watch Patty play. Like, fair trade. Like, but now you're talking like, well, now I don't even like watching the Sabres. At least now I'll watch Patty play. And suddenly their closet's filled with more Blackhawks stuff than it is Sabres stuff. And then suddenly they're like, yeah, what time's the Hawks game on again? Like, what time can we watch Kane play? Like, what's happening? And that's where you end up. Like, that's how things go bad quickly. That's the downside of also, having a hockey flush market where you can produce players like that and, have local people just be like, well, this will be my other team to go with the Sabres because I'm rooting for this guy. And, the Sabres, I could see it be like them thinking it's a 200 IQ player to bring in an aging, 35 and over Patrick Kane to be like, this will help out for a little bit. Here's that Band-Aid over this hatchet wound we've gotten our legs almost cut off now. And, this'll tide us over for a bit.
That's when I win like $1 billion in the lottery and I bring the Buffalo Braves back. Bring that NBA franchise I've been looking to bring back forever. One more Sabres thing here, and then we'll get into our starting five draft. Lance Lazowski on Tuesday tweeted out that he heard from a league source that the New Jersey Devils have interest in Rasmus Ristolainen. I mean, look, we hear it every year that we assume he's going to be traded. I think this might be, and this is at least a third straight offseason where one of the big points of conversation is he going to get traded? I think it's very realistic, more so now than ever. But anyway, Lance pointed out a specific team that was interested and said they were desperate for a right-handed shot on the defense. Seems like a good fit. Are you at the point right now with Ristolainen where, unlike Sam and Jack, where you might really want to hold out for the best package, you're almost willing to just take what you can get? Because trading him, by the way, and you talked about this last week, actually, and wrote about this, trading him, if you're going to trade him, you want to do it before the expansion draft, because then that'll allow you to protect somebody else, like maybe a Will Borgen or a Rasmus Asplund that otherwise might be exposed because you're not protecting Ristolainen because you'd be trading him before. But anyway, what's your mindset with him? Are you at the point, well, just move on from him? He deserves to go somewhere else and just take whatever you can get.
I've been on the move him out of town train for 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's not anything against him. It's just for me, it was always a matter of like the opinion of him around the league is high enough that maybe they haven't paid attention to his underlying numbers. Maybe they're not looking that closely to see where his deficiencies lie. Maybe, they're only seeing the hits and the goals and stuff and saying like, hey, this guy's our answer. Even this week when I mentioned Ristolainen on Twitter, because I mentioned it on another podcast that like Philly always seems to be drooling over him. And I have Flyer fans popping into my mentions going, oh man, I think we could get him. Oh, I've been dreaming about him for years. And I'm like, you can just make an offer. Just make an offer, man. Like, just make it worthwhile. You'll be okay. And I'm not saying take anything for him. Cause I mean, you like that's a Tim Murray move, you know, like with Torrey Mitchell and Brian Flynn, just give us a seventh. It's fine. Like, no, get something in return and assume that the other team values him a lot. Like, take advantage of somebody else's weakness for once. Right. is the way I look at it. Like if they've got another player that they don't think highly of, but Buffalo's got a good, like they've got a good feel for him, ask for that guy. Like, you know, if it's a Will Butcher who they went after a few years ago and just missed out on, if that's the guy you traded for, fine. Like, he seems, you know, Devils seem to be ready to move on from him. So make that deal. Like, just take advantage of somebody else's desires for once in your life. Just do it and be okay with it. Because I'm convinced once you get wrist to line and away from the rest of the defense, it's addition by subtraction.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, I'm back with Joe Yurt, and it is time for our weekly starting five. I'm on a hot streak, buddy. I am on a hot streak. I love it.
So I'm just stewing in anger because this, I now granted, we agreed that this was going to be close.
Yeah.
We agreed this was going to be close. And I don't think it was that close.
No.
At least last I checked the numbers, it wasn't that close.
It ended up. So anyway, for everyone listening who didn't catch last week, we did fictional sports movie characters last week. I ended up with 55. So I won 55 to 45. I took Rocky Balboa. Let's recap. I took Rocky Balboa, Danny LaRusso, I should say, Gordon Bombay, Ricky Vaughn, Roy, Tin Cup, McAvoy. Joe took, and again, finished with 45%, took Reggie Dunlop, Shane Falco, Kelly Leak, Sidney Dean, and Al Cervic. I did expect it to be a little bit closer. I felt good, though, when we left the draft last week, I felt good. There's been a couple weeks where I was like, I think you drafted a better team, and I don't know, for whatever reason, Twitter did not agree. But this week I felt pretty good, but I expected it maybe like a 53-47. I thought it was going to be closer than it was. Honestly, I think that Reggie Dunlop, while a good pick, and especially Al Cervic, I again, one of my favorite movies, one of my favorite characters from a movie ever, I don't think they polled well. They weren't box office draws with Twitter, with our voting Twitter anyway. They're good critical choices. Again, I've used this before. It's like Joe Yurden went out and made a really good indie movie, and it scored great on Rotten Tomatoes, you know, in terms of like critic approval. But when it came to the box office numbers, it didn't perform quite as well, if that makes sense to you.
This falls in line with my HBO series draft, where I still to this day will defend that was infinitely better than yours. But by light years better than yours. Now I can't say that this time, but I did like my campaign point of accusing you of just going for names.
Yeah.
Just going, oh, he's got all recognizable guys. Like, oh yeah, of course that's them. I like, sold no, out read a these bit. Characters. Oh, you definitely sold out.
I sold out. I'll tell you right now, you know, I well, I sold out with one name, absolutely. Gordon Bombay. I went back and I'm hearing some of these. I knew some of the choices that we talked about, some of them, and then some of the, you know, people that were critical out there of guys we didn't take. I was like, dude, that's not one of my five favorite. I'm like, all right, that's a name that might hold well.
Gordon Bombay was your weakest call.
It was. Like, it was a bad decision.
But it was the one that everybody's like, oh my God, I love it. It's like, no, you don't. You know the name. You don't actually like the character.
Kelly Leak was a great pick. I thought he was your best pick last week. Not your most famous one.
I think that's what most people just didn't know.
Right. That was my favorite one, though. The whole Shane Falco. Now, Shane Falco, by the way, even though people loved Keanu Reeves. Yeah, you were. I think it had some effect. I got criticized a lot for criticizing him. But anyway, that was fun. So what we're going to do based off, we're going to piggyback off last week a little bit, because you know what? Why not? At the end of the day, this shit's all for fun anyway. So instead of doing fictional sports movie characters, this week we're going to do sports movies. And I'm going to tell you right now, Joe, I will be stunned. I could be wrong, because you never know. Again, sometimes we've left this draft thinking it's going to be close and it turns out to be a blowout. There's been some where I'm like, this really isn't going to get much run on Twitter. And there's a lot of interaction, a lot of votes. Then there's times where I'm like, oh, this is a great category and it doesn't quite get as much. This week, I'm confident that more than anything else we've done, this is going to get picked apart and criticized more than anyone. And that's simply because there's a gazillion great sports movies. Absolutely impossible to draft five. And even if we run off a handful of our honorable mentions like we usually do, there's just too many good ones. Now, if we were doing football movies, only football or only baseball or only basketball or something like that, it would be a little more, I don't think we would get blasted as much, but we're going to get dragged through the mud for this one. I promise you that. I'm good 100%, with
that. Like, this is one where I think we could do we could almost have the Rando Calrissian. The Rando Calrissian, like People's Choice team.
Yeah.
And the People's Choice team could absolutely mop the floor with us.
Like
I think so. That could have happened last week. And I think that could have happened. Oh, what was it? One of the other ones that it was one of the other weeks that we did one where it was just like everything that we were just like, man, we could have had that one, could have that one, could have that one.
Yeah.
That we would have got killed on that too. Yep. This is absolutely a week where if we just took five other great movies, we could probably get our asses kicked.
Let's see. I think the goal this week, well, obviously we both want to win. I mean, who doesn't want to win? We do something. Right. We want to win, but let's see if we can try to keep this like safe. I'll be happy either way if it's like within 6 percentage points, one way or the other. So let's see if we can do it. Now, I'm looking last week. So I took Rocky Balboa with the first pick. That means you got the first pick here. So same format as always, everyone out there. Joe's going to pick one, then I get the next two, snake draft, till we get to five. So kick it off, man. Sports movies.
See, now this is a week where I think I'm at a disadvantage again by having the first pick, because I think this is a category where any of like 10 movies could arguably be number one. I think that's fair to say. Like any of 10 movies could just be like, yeah, no, that's number one. But you getting the next two picks after that, being able to like double up on it. Oh my God. Like this has got the mob movie feel to it, where
it's looking like a fix right now. You think the fix is on or something.
I'm planting the seed of doubt right now for anybody voting, because
this is like the hockey draft coming this summer. There's no clear cut. There's no consensus. Number one, there ain't no, there is no McKinnon. There's no Connor McDavid in this draft.
Mm-hmm. No, this is a draft where you have 50 Connor McDavids. You've got 50 Connor McDavids and 50 LeBrons, and yeah, good luck. Like that's just, it stinks.
Right.
That just stinks for it. And I hate it, but, and this is, you know, this is just me.
Let me pledge something. While you're debating your first pick, I'm going to throw this out there. This week, I'm telling you right now, I have a board. These are going to be my personal favorites. I am not thinking about what I might put out there that's going to attract more voters. In fact, quite the opposite. I might get stung by one or two of these picks. Maybe not. I mean, it's not like they're no-name movies. They're popular. But I'm picking five sports movies that I love. So anyway, on that note, back to you.
Okay. All right. So, okay. You're picking five that you love.
Yes.
Okay. Because I feel like me going for critical approval has been my downfall. like I'm above the masses. I don't need your approval. I feel good about it.
Yeah,
this.
You've been a fancy pants once or twice. I think it's cost you a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think in this case, I'm stealing your number one pick from last week. It's got to be Rocky. I think Rocky is absolutely the best sports movie going, because it's got all the heart, it's got the drama, it's got the fights, it's got everything about it. And you know what? Lead guy doesn't even win the fight. Spoiler. Sorry guys, like spoiler alert for 40 going on 50 year old movie, whatever it is. Yeah, like Rocky's it, man. Like you got the full array of characters. It's just an awesome, perfect film. Rocky's number one for me.
Okay, I have I'm going to see, this is, I feel like this is a chess match, and you made a good first move. And this is where I wanted to preface this, because I think I'm going to get beat up for this, but I'm staying true to my board. So it's actually going to be my second pick. My first pick, I picked the character last week. It's without question my favorite sports movie of all time. I picked Ricky Vaughn. It's Major League. I love that movie. It is my favorite, not just baseball. It's my favorite sports movie. That whole cast was just hilarious, man. We talked about Ricky Vaughn last week. Dorn, I love Dorn, the rich asshole third baseman, like Serrano, who couldn't hit the curveball. Jake Taylor, the washed up bum. Lou Brown, the manager, who just had the best attitude. Willie Mays Hayes, I mean, awesome cast. Almost made me like the Cleveland Indians as a kid. I grew up a Yankees fan, but it almost made me like Cleveland. The story was pretty cool. They had the tanker. You know, the owner wanted to sell the team, so she tried to get him the tank. Rene Russo was in that movie. I used to think she was hot back in the day. So that's an easy one for me. The second one, this is where I think I'm going to get beat up. I'm going Rocky, but I'm going Rocky 3. I'm skipping the second one. The second one is maybe the most popular after one, for sure. It's one of the top two most popular ones. Rocky 3, though, for me, and I'm staying true to my board here, man, that was my favorite one of all the Rocky movies. Because you had everything. Stallone comes off the big victory against Apollo Creed. He makes like 10 title defenses. He wants to retire. Him and Mickey are going to ride off to the sunset. Then you get a brand new hungry character, Clubber Lang, who's just talking shit. Rocky fights him, gets the shit kicked out of him. Mickey dies. I cried my eyes out. I'll cry my eyes out. If we put that clip on right now, I would start crying on this podcast. That's how sad I got when Mickey died. And then the rivals get together, man. Apollo and Rocky, and they go out to LA, and Rocky's heart is not into it, man. And he looks washed up. He's done. Then he has that talk with Adrian on the beach, and everything changes. And that montage of them two and racing on the beach, the ultimate cheeseball scene ever is when they hug each other in the beach under the water, Apollo and Rocky. And then he beats his ass. He beats Clubber in the rematch. That movie had everything that I liked. So for that reason, I got to go Rocky 3. So you're going to be on the board for 2 now.
Okay. So I like both of those picks. And, you know, I love Rocky 3. I love Rocky 4 more. But, like, I'm not picking Rocky 4. Because I love the cheese.
If you're not going to pick Rocky 4, because I'm not either, I will say this. Rocky 4 had the best soundtrack of all of them. The music was
100%.
Fucking amazing.
100%, yes.
Yeah. All right.
I think, you know what, I feel like I'm breaking rules that I set up for myself back before, of like not going back over old steps. but I got to pick Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Caddyshack's an all timer. Like I'm in a bad mood. I'm throwing this movie on. I'm not in a bad move.
Right.
Bad move anymore movie. Like It's so good from Rodney to Judge Smith. I mean, I talked about a ton of this last week, but like everybody interacting in that movie is just so on point. And everybody in that movie was so high on cocaine. And I think the humor kind of belies that truth. But I mean, you get, you know, Bill Murray, Chevy Chase, just all these people in there where it's just everybody's at the top of their game.
It stands the test of time as good as any movie that there is. Not even just sports, just period. It stands the test of time. The movie's 41 years old, man.
Yeah, geez. Yeah, that's I'm older than the movie. So immediately I'm just kind of like,
I love the pick.
But it's Caddyshack's friggin' perfect, man. Like that's just such a damn good movie.
Good pick.
The next one.
I love the real time drama because this is not phony. This is not for the cameras or for the microphone. This is like legit, man. I think we both have dug in. We want to win this shit.
Yeah, well, I'm annoyed you've won, 5 weeks in a row now?
Four.
Get lost, man.
Soon to be five. Well, maybe not. I really like your first two.
You bastard. frick. You know, because I'm always torn, because like there's movies that I love, but I'm just kind of like, it's not that great of a movie. And then there's other movies that I know are like perfect movies, but like they're not name grabbers. And that's kind of what kills me with a lot of it. Cause it's just like, no, let me pick my not name grabber. But I gotta stick true to my hockey roots here, and I'm going to pick Miracle.
Ooh.
And you know, some of this comes from getting to talk to some of the guys that played on that team, which, you know, blows me away that I even get to say that in my life. But like talking to Craig Patrick and talking to Mike Ramsey and talking with Mike Arruzzioni and, you know, guys like that, where you're just like, holy shit, man, that's living history.
Sure.
Like here they are in a movie and like being portrayed pretty damn close to what they are. But I mean, Kurt Russell playing Brooks is just, it's so good. And
amazing. Like,
it was something like when I talk, you know, cause Craig Patrick would be at Sabres games a lot because, you know, he was working for Nashville or Pittsburgh or something. He was working for the Sabres for a year or two. But I remember asking him, I was like, the portrayal that Kurt Russell had of Brooks, what was your take on that? And he was about as faithful as somebody could without knowing the guy. And I was like, okay. I was like, okay. Now, you know, granted, some things were, you know, there's some things that are, you know, played with for Hollywood purposes, but like, you know, hearing the behind the scenes stories of those from the guys that were there is just amazing. And just being like, well, how was it in the movie? He's like, well, I'm sure for those guys, that was pretty close. Or like, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Or like, you know, the different things that go into that. But like that movie was such a faithful representation of what it was like to get that team picked and to get it together and for how the whole thing played out. Like, you know how, like you watch the movie, like you have an interest in this, you know how it plays out. You know the ending. You cannot be spoiled by it. And you're still like on the edge of your seat watching it. And you're just like, okay. But that's how good everybody in that movie was. So like that for me is the biggest compliment for a movie, to tell a true story and to have you just be like, oh man, what's going to happen? It's like, well, they're playing the Soviets. You know, it's going to happen. You know how it goes, but you're still like, just, oh man, how are they going to get over this? How's this going to work out? Like, I don't know. It's that good. So yeah, I swerved on you. I know you were probably thinking I was going to pick Slapshot. No, I picked Miracle.
I'll tell you what, I think you're 3 for 3 right now. That's a great pick. And
you're blowing smoke up my ass.
No, I'm being very, very honest with you, man. Last week, I had a really good feeling as we were doing this draft. This week, I don't. That's a great pick. Yo, I will listen to an argument that was the best performance of Kurt Russell's career. It was really good. Yeah. And yeah, man, I'm old enough that I actually remember the game. I remember the Miracle on Ice. I was 9 years old, and I watched it in my playroom. I didn't know what the hell was going on, but I watched that game, and I knew. I came to know a lot of those players from that. I followed that team as young as I was back in 80. Great pick. All right, so I got two here. And again, I told you, for better or worse, I'm sticking to my board this week, and we'll see how it plays out. I love A League of Their Own. I talked a little bit about this last week. I think it's some of Tom Hanks' most underrated work. I thought he was absolutely hilarious as Jimmy Duggan, a washed up alcoholic manager who did not give a shit about doing the job and then kind of became invested in it as the movie went on. I loved Gina Davis in this movie as Dottie Henson. In fact, I'm not even a Gina Davis fan. Like, I really don't like anything she did before or since that much, but I loved her in this movie. Madonna, who at that time was one of my favorite entertainers. I was like, damn, she could act too. Marla Hooch, dude, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week, like this team. She cost them the championship by falling in love with Nelson and running off in the middle of the season and getting married. You don't think they could have used her bat in that 7-game series against Kitt's team? It doesn't go 7 games if Marla doesn't turn her back and fall in love and get married. So to me, she's a heel. But anyway, I love that movie, man. I really do. I love that movie. And it's also, at least loosely anyway, based on a true story, because there really was that women's league during the war when men went off to war. So I feel good about that one. And my other one, so this is my fourth. This is a tough one. I'm going to go Hoosiers. I love that movie. Gene Hackman was great. Mm-hmm. Dennis Hopper played a really smart coach, but he was an alcoholic. Great story. Just so many ways. So well layered, so well acted. Jimmy Chitwood, one of the best basketball shooters we've ever seen in our lifetime. They win the state title. It was just, it was an awesome story, man. So there's not really much more to say besides that, but yeah, I feel good about it. I don't know how it's going to play us, but I don't know how League of Their Own is going to play in the grand scheme of things. Cause I know there's better baseball movies out there. I'm admitting that. But again, I'm going to stay true to my board. So League of Their Own and Hoosiers, that's 4 for me. You got 3. All right, so you got the next 2. These are going to be your last 2 right here.
And this is what I mean by this whole thing having, you know, 50 number one overall picks to choose from. Like, this is like picking, like, the best draft picks of all time and deciding, like, it's the ultimate fantasy draft, fantasy lineup kind of thing. Like, if I'm going in for an all day movie marathon of sports movies, what ones do I want to watch? And like that's kind of how I have to break this down, just try to figure it out in my head. Which keeps me from picking some of like the really older ones. Just because, you know, like, and I'm talking way back. Now, I mean, there's a movie that like I love, and being a Yankees fan makes it very easy to love, is Pride of the Yankees, because I think it's a beautifully done tale of, you know, the whole Lou Gehrig story. I love that movie, but I can't pick it because so few people have watched, have sat down to watch that. And Gary Cooper just plays an unbelievably perfect Gehrig.
Right. But like, I agree.
You know, but like I don't know how many people, like my age and definitely younger, have even sat down to watch that one. Cause I don't think anybody does that. So I can't, like, I want to pick it, but I can't pick it. Now, if you make that your last pick, I'd 100% understand if you're just kind of like, well, if you're going to leave that on the board.
No, I'm not going to pick it.
Like, feel free to, like, I understand, but I love it so much, but I just can't pick it. But I got to go. As far as I don't have a baseball movie yet, but I got to pick Bull Durham.
Yeah, I was debating between that and in Hoosiers. That's a good one.
The whole range of Crash Davis and Nuke LaLoosh and Susan Sarandon, you know, being the the love interest and whatnot on the road and kind of teaching the rookie the ropes and always being there for the post game action and whatnot, but it's such a fun story, and you have all these people that just knock it out of the park when they're in movies. So like, but it's so fun, and you know, watching Nuke LaLoosh, you know, watching Tim Robbins pitch is hilarious.
Oh, so bad
because he can't at all.
Terrible.
But like that, I mean, he pitches the way that like you would if you were a kid and you didn't know anything about pitching, you just watched it on TV. You're just like, yeah, you do it like this. And it's like, well, no, that's not how it's done at all. But yeah, okay, bud. Like, sure, you got it. But yeah, like it's an eminently lovable movie. And it's, you know, it's got its adult themes to it, but also it's just, it's a baseball movie at the heart of it. Like that's the whole thing.
Sure.
And Costner's so good in it. He's so damn good in it as like the veteran catcher and, you know, just trying to keep the rookie's feet on the ground, but also trying to lift them up when he needs it. Like that's, I don't know. Everything about that is just a joy for me. So, so Bull Durham and I feel like I've done, I feel like I've done a lot of attention grabbing with these picks. And I feel like I owe it to myself to do a critical pick. It may cost me, okay, but I freaking hope not, because Raging Bull's the best. Raging Bull could have been my number one pick.
Yeah.
But it's going to be my number five pick because my God, what a beautiful movie. And the way De Niro plays the role, and like, it's the whole life of the fighter, and Scorsese just going ham with the classical music, and it's black and white, and telling the whole story. Was it Jake LaMotta?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the whole LaMotta story, like I, like, you know, you hear about a guy growing up, but you don't know his whole story. And like seeing how he was post career and like, you know, how, you know, how much of like, you know, he's like, I want to be a singer, I want to do this. And just like, what? You're like, okay. Like, but it ran the gamut of being like being a professional boxer and a prize fighter and a champion to being like, well, now I'm out of boxing. What the hell do I do with my life? You know, where does my life go from here? And like that whole process of it. And the fact that De Niro had to put on all this weight to be old Jake LaMotta, from being, you know, young Jake LaMotta, and, you know, the cut fighter and everything. My God, just like a friggin' beautiful, perfect movie. It's the kind of movie where you like, you got to be like, I want to watch an acting movie. Like, you know, I like, my brain has to be actively involved and just to appreciate everything that's going on, which is why I think it's going to hurt me. This is why I think picking Raging Bull is going to hurt me, because people are just like, I just want to watch a movie. And like Raging Bull, it's like you have to sit there and soak in it and appreciate everything about it, because it's such a great movie.
It's an incredible movie. And, you know, everybody thinks of De Niro and Pesci with Goodfellas starting in the 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, they were in, that's the start of them two working together. Yeah. And that movie goes all the way back to 1980. I remember being scared of the character, Robert De Niro, the character, like, because he was crazy at times, you know, he was a vicious, violent guy, out of the ring.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Just a great boxing story too. I think he fought with Sugar Ray, like, I think he fought him five times, and they document that during the movie too. Sugar Ray Robinson, I think he fought him five or six times, man.
What kills me. This is why I get, and this is totally derailing the conversation, sort of. But this is why I get sad about boxing not being really a thing anymore, because boxing provides so much drama and stories and everything. Like, and I'm assuming you're not going to pick this, but like The Fighter with
Mickey Rourke.
No, that's the wrestler. The Fighter with
I know you're talking about
Christian Bale. Christian Bale, and it's about Mickey Ward.
Oh no, that was Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg, right?
I think Mark Wahlberg. He might have been in the movie, but I think Chris.
I remember. I watched. It was definitely Marky Mark, man. You could Google it while I make my last pick, because I'm pretty sure it was Marky Mark. I still call him Marky Mark. I don't care how many great movies he's made. Dude is always Marky Mark to me, man.
No, he was Mickey Ward. Christian, but like Christian Bale is like his manager.
Oh yeah. So we're both right. Yeah.
Yeah, that like that, movie. Like that. That's like another one. But like you're doing the story of Mickey Ward, and like his whole story is intense, and like the background, and you know, everything about it. It's just like, holy shit.
Those three fights with Gotti to this day are the best things I've ever seen in boxing, man.
That first fight is probably my favorite fight of all time.
There's a documentary on HBO. I barely ever make my son watch anything if he doesn't want to. I made him watch the documentary. It's called Legendary Nights: A Tale of Gotti Ward. HBO documentary, man. God, it was absolutely incredible. Incredible. Oh man, you know.
See, I planted two seeds in your mind. You now did. You're just like, oh you my did. God. You but did. This is what I mean. Like, there's 50 number one picks to pick from.
Okay,
like,
this is crazy. I made a big board, all right? And I said, I'm staying true to my big board. And I ended up, so I got a board of like 10, and seven have been picked. two that you, I had on my big board, you've taken already. You took Caddyshack was ranked high, and so was and you also stole Bull Durham from me. Miracle was one I didn't think about, and Raging Bull was one I forgot about too, which I'm mad about that. So I'm staying true to my board for better or worse, and I know I'm going to lose because, well, I shouldn't say that. But I talked a little bit about this last week briefly. Love and Basketball is one of my favorite sports movies ever, man. It was with Omar Epps and Sanya Lathan. She played Monica Wright, and they were both best. They were next-door neighbors, and they grew up basketball stars. Omar Epps was the bigger star. They both went to USC. He went to the NBA. He got hurt, tore his ACL. He labored around the league. She went overseas, became a big star, but then she didn't love the sport. She came back. Ultimately, she quit. She got a job like at the bank, and they ended up playing one-on-one in the backyard at the end of the movie for love. You know, if I beat you, then you love me. You know, he was married or engaged. I can't remember if he was married or engaged. I don't remember if he actually married her or not. But anyway, man, it just, I loved that movie. I loved every single thing about that movie. It always resonates with me every single time I see it. And I was laboring over that pick because, I mean, we both have our picks out there and they're done now. But I know if I would have picked Field of Dreams, that would have pulled better for sure because I like that movie and that's on my list. But I had Love and Basketball higher, so I have to stay true to my board. I told you I'm going to do that this week.
I like that.
Tin Cup 2 is another one that I think could have done better. But anyway, so those are our picks. I look at this. I'm going to be honest with you. We'll see. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I'd be stunned if you don't get a minimum of 70% of the vote this week. I said
70%.
I thought this was going to be close going into it. I don't think it's close anymore. I'm looking at it now because we can't change our picks. I could see I'm going to get killed for taking Rocky 3 instead of Rocky 2. I'm going to get killed. The other one I think I'm going to get killed for is taking, again, League of Their Own over the Field of Dreams. Or one we didn't even talk about, The Natural with Robert Redford. I think baseball-wise, I'll probably get hammered for that. Hoosiers, I think, will play well. Then Love and Basketball. I should have, there were better movies. Slapshot, you talked about Slapshot. Rudy. White Man Can't Jump if I want to have a basketball movie. There were a lot of them. I got a pretty strong suspicion that I think my winning streak might be over, Joe.
Very selfishly, I hope you're right about the 70% thing. I want it to be 90%.
You're out for blood.
Honestly, but I'm out for blood. Frig, man. Like, come on. I'm sick of losing, dude. This, I feel like I need some kind of justification now. I don't think there was any way to go wrong picking anything this week. Like, I mean, again, this is what I said. We could pick a random third group of movies that we didn't pick. You know, throw Slapshot on there, throw Field of Dreams. Like, just those two movies alone would probably be enough for people to be like, oh, well, yeah, you got that movie. Then I'm picking that. Like, because that's where one or both of us gets killed on votes. It's like, oh, you didn't have that one? Well, screw you. This other guy had this one. Like, one movie throws the entire vote. So that's where I'm hoping, like, people will see my list and be like, oh, you got that movie? He doesn't. Yeah, screw him. I mean, again, like, I hope people listen to our justification on these things. And listen, if people are not listening or are listening to it and being like, yeah, no, screw your picks anyways, I respect that. I respect that very much.
Well, I'll guarantee you this much. The very first, I think it was either the first or second time I've ever done this when I used to have Dell on every Friday, it'll never be that big of a blowout. I lost 1 week 94-6. That's almost impossible. That was what we did is
were you the only person that voted for you?
Yeah, maybe. we did 80s movies, and like today, I said I'm staying true to my board, and I ended up picking a couple ones that just flopped. I had Can't Buy Me Love, which I love that movie. With Patrick Dempsey, but obviously no one else fucking did. I had Rocky III. You know what? I'm looking now. I had Rocky III. I had Rocky III in that one too. So that's not a good omen for me. I had Footloose, St. Elmo's Fire, and About Last Night, which was with Rob Lowe and Demi Moore. I don't think anyone even saw the movie. Nobody even knew what the hell it was. And then Dell went with like Back to the Future and Breakfast Club and Top Gun and Stand By Me anyway. Long story short, he kicked the living shit out of me.
Yeah, he should have.
He should have. I don't think this is going to be that. I don't think this is going to be that bad. But this might be a blowout, man. I think Miracle is one that really. I think that's going to resonate very well with fans. Again, though, who knows? Maybe if I campaign hard enough, I could get some votes. But I'm not feeling good.
Well, I like that. I think you genuinely feel bad about what's going to come with the voting here. So I feel good about that. I think a couple of the last few weeks, you're just like, I don't know, this might be close. And you're like, whatever, I got this in the bag. It's fine. I'm good. Like, I can sail into this one. But now I'm like, no, I think I got you. I think I got you this time.
If I happen to somehow win this, and I don't think I'm going, but if I do, I'm going to be insufferable next week. I'm going to be so cocky and so arrogant.
I'm going to be so angry. I'm going to be so angry if that happens. If it ends up being 70% for you, I will be the most angry person on earth. So better hope that doesn't happen.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for this episode. Make sure you give Joe a follow on Twitter @JoeYurden. Get on the poll. I'll have it up all weekend and get out there and vote. Again, it's @PatMoranTweets. I'm sure Joe will retweet it as well. Thanks for doing a pod, buddy. Oh, yeah. You know I love having you on, man.
Absolutely. And enjoy packing. I know you won't, but enjoy it best you can.
I'm definitely not going to enjoy packing. But anyway, have a good weekend, everybody. I'll be in a hotel next week. By the way, next Tuesday show, Kelly Dudzik from WGRZ TV Channel 2. I want to throw this out there. I'll have her on. We're going to be talking about her life and her career. Tons of Buffalo talk. Don't want to miss that. So stay tuned for that. Talk to you guys next week. Have a good one. Be safe.